Okay, so let me start my presentation from this picture of the movable emittance meter that is taken from the technical drawings, just to illustrate since the beginning what we are talking about. So you see that the movable emittance meter is basically a piece of beamline made of two long bellows, and in between these two long bellows we have the emittance diagnostic that can move back and forth because of this degree of freedom offered by the two bellows. So in the presentation I will talk about this device, how we are using this device during the commissioning of the spark for the injector. I will not go into detail with results from this commissioning because it's still ongoing, and also because you expect new and better results from the next round that is just starting these days. And hopefully I will not give the complete list of measurements that one can do with this device, because I expect that some new measurements can be invented with this diagnostic. Just to remind you that the e-meter was developed in the Spark collaboration. That means collaboration made of major Italian research agencies and other contribution from international institution. And the scope of this collaboration is to make research and development over high brightness for the injectors for FEL applications. This is the layout of the machine. You see the three accelerating sections at the beginning and the undulator for the FEL experiment, and the gun at the beginning. And this is the basic parameters we are dealing with. So the motivations are, let's say, we have, in order to achieve the performance that we want to have, we have to reproduce the beam dynamics that is foreseen by simulation. So this means basically to have, in this very first part of the accelerator, just after the gun, an oscillation of the emittance that is then captured at this maximum and dumped during the acceleration in such a way to have the minimum of this oscillation at the end of the LINAC, where the undulator will start. If we expand the first part of this beam dynamics, we see that there's a sort of fingerprint of this good transport condition that are these two minimum here. And in fact, what we are going to do is to try to investigate in this region and see what are the set points of our injector that are able to reproduce this evolution of the emittance. And this is why we install this movable device and in such a way that it's able to cover this region. Just a fast, closer look to the hardware of the movable emittance meter, you see that we have the movable part that is made of two crosses. The first one has the two slits that are used for vertical and horizontal emittance measurements. The second one is equipped with a CCD camera and a screen, of course. And in between, we have another smaller bellow that is needed because, of course, we implement the standard emittance measurement for using the slit mask. That is needed because the beam conditions are different, of course, along this part of the accelerator. We have a converging beam at the beginning, then a waste, and then a diverging beam later. And you see that we expect different conditions, different distribution of the beamlets on the screen. So we have to adjust the distance between the screen and the mask in such a way to keep the accuracy of the measurement constant. For the same reason, to adapt the configuration to the different requirements for the measurements, we equip the slit mask with either, sorry, with both a single slit and a multi-slit, in such a way to, for instance, to avoid this problem here when we use a multi-slit mask. In this case, the beam is too small, probably close to the waist. So in this case, the multi-slit mask cannot be used, or is not really useful because of the low accuracy. And in this case, we go with the single slit, just moving it across the beam a different position. So this device was completed in spring 2005. And after that, we had the possibility to move it for a few months to Desizoiten. And you see it installed it on the PITS 1.5 facility. This was done in the framework of the Eurofel collaboration. Here is where it was installed, downstream the booster. And we can see that this was a very good chance to debug and to test the system, to debug the hardware and to start to use it. We had the possibility also to cross-check the result with other emittance diagnostics that were already present on the accelerator. Unfortunately, the position provides a beam with an energy that is too high to see some beam changes. But we had the possibility to switch off the booster, and you see the difference in the measurements that we did. These three points are taken moving, of course, the movable diagnostics along Z. And you see that for an energetic beam, this value remains almost constant, while we see some changes, as expected, switching the booster off. After that, we moved that back to the Frascati Natural Laboratories, and you see it installed in the Spark hall. It's not clear here. We have the gun; it's partly hidden. And you see now the other components that are now installed together with the emitter. At the end, we have a spectrometer and with the possibility to measure, of course, the beam energy. So what we did so far with this device, the basic measurements is usually the scan of the envelope along Z. And it's so important, so interesting to have these measurements that we did it in one click. So we prepare an automatic scan that produces a plot like this one in here. Of course, it takes roughly or less than 5 minutes to complete, but that very much depends on the point you want to sample along Z. Anyway, after the averaging for each point, the measurements of the envelope, you obtain these two curves here, one for the two directions, for the two planes. So it's quite fast and it's also very very useful information because it provides a fast information about the configuration of your injector. So you see at a glance. And of course, the curves depend on the solenoid focusing, on the beam roundness emerging from the cathode, from the solenoid alignment, if not, and also from the laser angle of incidence. I mean, the curves, the shape of these two curves. Here is another example with a coarse sampling, and here you see how we can evidence the effect of the solenoid focusing, changing the solenoid current and seeing the curves that change in shape and in the position of the minimum. Of course, you can also easily do movies, in the sense that you can keep the pictures that you do and along Z and make a movie as you were flying with a beam along the emittance meter. And you see the beam now that, in this case, that the very first part focus and then expand at the end. The typical measurement is once we the configuration is completed is to check the emittance, and you see what we get as result here. These are the value of the emittance along the device, so starting from roughly 1 meter from the cathode down to 2 meters, and you see the variation of the emittance, but also the variation of the twist parameters and the cross check, the check that you do also on the beam alignment on the beam shape while doing this measurement. So the experience we had so far are the following. We are using both the multi-slit and the single slit. Of course, the multi-slit is used for single-shot measurements, so one Z is one point is enough. If you're going with a single slit, then you have to take more measurements at the same position in order to get beamless from all the beam. Of course, the first one is faster, I mean, the multi-slit. The second one is more accurate. In general, the single slit is more flexible and also more accurate. This is why we use to do the measurements with the single slit instead of the multi slit. But anyway, we sometimes use both to cross check the result, and we always had good agreements between the results on using the two different masks. We also cross-check the result of the analysis routine, comparing the value of the sigma that one can obtain from the twist parameter with the sigma that one measure moving the screen at the position where the slit mask was at the measurement. A side product of the emittance measurement is the possibility to reconstruct the phase space of the beam, starting from the beamless profile, and you see the result here. So you can easily imagine, as in this case, how the beam space changes while flying along this drift space.
1 minute.
Another measurement that we did is the following. So it was our intention to verify the compensation of the laser. So we move the slit mask, you know, in such a way to select a little portion of the beam transversely, and we measure at the end of the spectrometer, we measure the energy. And we evidence this dependence, for instance, in the position of the slit mask with the energy of the beamlet that was selected. And of course, we concluded that there was some compensation of the laser that has to be tuned up, and this is why we now move to the normal laser incidence on the cathode. Another measurement with the slit is the following: you insert the slit at the point in the emittance meter, and then you move it down. While you do this, you measure the energy and the energy spread, and what you get is a plot that evidences the contribution of the wake fields of the beam that is flying in the bellow, and this is what we can check. I mean, these are the simulation that we can check against the measurements in a more detailed analysis. Other check with simulation, you see here the points of an envelope that are very well along the curve of the simulation. The same is for the emittance here. It's not the same for the other plane, for the X-plane. In this case, we can, of course, tune up our input parameter on the computations and see if this improves the correspondence of the measurements with the simulations. And as you can see in this case. Even more interesting
is your time is up. Can you please round off?
I finished. Even more interesting is the possibility to extract that curve and modify a relevant parameter, that is the rise time of the pulse, and see that these measurements, if I mean this this setup of the of the of the injector, will probably lead to the condition we are looking for if we be able to reduce the rise time of the pulse, of course, working on the laser. So the conclusion, as I said, we expect more and improve the results in the next week, and then starting with a new run in the Spark for the injector. I think we are still at the beginning and exploring the possibility of these applications, as I said before, at the beginning. And I can say that this device is more than a simple improvement of a diagnostic that, that is well known, because of the possibility to analyze in detail the beam evolution along the longitudinal coordinate. That's it.
So, do we have a quick question for the speaker? If not so, well, let's thank him again, and we call on the next speaker.